We are in 1 Peter. Family is an interesting thing. There's a connection with family. You grew up with family. Brothers and sisters. You have the Zoom meetings where everybody's sitting there, and we're having a lot of Zoom meetings at the moment, especially wanting to get to see Aunt Paula whenever possible. And we're talking. And when you're talking to your brother, when I talk to Mike or Steven, I know them. You know, there's a background there. So there's a very long history. I saw them growing up. Steven was my older brother with the good and bad that go with that. With Bianca, it's a little different. Bianca knows Steven as her pastor. I know Steven as my brother, which there's a little bit of disconnect because she doesn't know the background, the history. And so when I talk to Steven, I talk to Steven in a little bit of a different way than Bianca, my wife, would talk to him. Why? Because they don't have the background. They don't have the full story. But it's an interesting thing to know that background and to know the story, you know, the history, you know, what's behind everything. I like to know the history of everything. I've bored many teenagers through the years when teaching in like youth groups saying, you know, let's deal with this passage and then go, you know, first let's deal with the history of Israel. And then go and give them a background lasting 45 minutes and then finally get to the passage. And sometimes they get bored. I like that background though. When you get the background, you get what's happening and why it's happening. And it just makes everything more clear. With books, Bianca and I, to the library a lot. The worst thing a library can do, and I think they do it purposely because they like to torture people, is to have series. They have an entire series, and you're looking there, and you pick up a book, and you read the back, and go, this is interesting, but it's book 4. And then you go back, book 3, book 2, there's no book 1. Why would someone do that? Librarians shouldn't do that. That's wrong. And then you try sometimes to start in the middle. In fact, for me, I really like Lord of the Rings. I started a long time ago. I couldn't find the series. I hadn't read it before, believe it or not. And I started in the middle book, The Two Towers. Can anybody imagine? I know some of you, my father included, not really in love with that series, but could you imagine if you like the series, starting with The Two Towers and getting to the end and going, what is going on? This doesn't make sense. I want the whole story. I want the background. I want how the beginning and the middle and the end. I want to see how it's all set up. At this point, I have a book about this thick that talks about how The Hobbit was written and shows all the manuscripts and each revision. I like the background. That's me. What we're going to talk about here with Peter in 1 Peter as he's talking, he starts talking a little bit about the background of the great salvation they have. And last week he was talking at the introduction. He says, this is a great salvation. You're elect. God knew you and he chose you. And even though you're sitting there and bad things are happening, you're rejoicing. And then he gets down to verse 10 and he gives them just a hint of the background of the salvation that they have. And that's encouraging. It's encouraging to me when I read it. And I believe it was encouraging to them. And he just goes with it. And we're going to deal with just verses 10, 11, and 12 today and talk through a little bit about what Peter wanted them to see here. So let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for just protecting us and keeping us safe. Please give our leadership wisdom in the next few months, especially as they make hard decisions. Please give us wisdom too, and please protect us. Please help Aunt Paula with the recovery through the surgery, and thank you so much for just how everything went, and just that it looks like she's okay. Continue to help our minds stay focused upon you during this time. Help us rejoice in you and lean on you and look to you no matter what. In your name, amen. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, attaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And he talks about the salvation. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things in which angels long to look. So we are rejoicing in this great salvation. We are God's elect. We are chosen. We have this salvation, this amazing promise of eternity with him. Even though we're troubled by trials, we're still rejoicing. This great salvation isn't just something God came up with off the top of his head. It's part of the plan of God. From eternity past all the way through, this is part of his plan. And if you read the Old Testament, I think as Christians sometimes, we stick, which me, I do the same thing sometimes. I stick to the New Testament because it's easier in some ways. It doesn't have as many cultural things that are hard to understand sometimes. And so I don't spend so much time in the Old Testament as I do in the New Testament. But the Old Testament is Scripture too. And it points to God's plan and what he was doing with people, and how it points to Christ. At the beginning, we have Adam and Eve, who fell, who sin came into this world, and death. And Christ gives them a promise. God gives them a promise. He says there's a coming, something's coming that's going to crush the head of the serpent. And we get to Abraham, and we see the promises to Abraham, and God says, through you I will bless the nations. And what does that mean? And as we keep on reading and we hear read through the story of Israel and how God's keeping his promises to them and leading them through all these different things, and they eventually want a king, and God is talking to these kings and through prophets, and he's talking to them and says, there's going to be a king that will rule forever. And he's telling David, it's one of your descendants. And what does this mean? And he's pointing to this future hope, this eternity. And you get to the prophets, and you're reading through all the different prophets, and they talk about this Messiah, this anointed one that's coming. And we see him, and we go, wow, this anointed one is coming. He's bringing the salvation. There's these amazing things happening. There's coming up. When is this going to happen? But they say things, the prophets, some things like, he will be despised and rejected. And imagine you're sitting there reading about this coming king, this future king, and you read he's rejected. Who's going to reject him? How's that going to happen? Why would they do this? And you're reading the Psalms, and you're reading David talk about his hands and his feet are pierced. And you go, what does Psalm 22 mean? How does it fit? And you read how this coming Messiah is pierced for our transgressions. And how does that all fit together? The prophets prophesied about this salvation, and they searched and they inquired in Scripture, and they read through the different Scriptures, and they went, how does this all work out? And in Luke, we know in Luke, when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, when he was 8 days old, they brought him to the temple, Simon is sitting there, and he goes in Luke 2:29, he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And Simon saw this. And I imagine Simon sitting there, his old man, I imagine his entire life, he was sitting there going through the Old Testament scriptures, studying, trying to understand, trying to see what God had planned. Jesus told the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verse 39, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Because the scriptures bear witness about Christ. They talk about Christ. And the prophets searched to understand what was coming. They inquired, and this is what Peter's talking about. They're inquiring, trying to get glimpses of what God would do, and they understood partially. They had a little bit of picture, but they didn't see the whole thing. And even though they only saw a bit, they remained faithful. They continued on. They continued to preach. A lot of them were killed. A lot of them, they were tortured even, or pursued, or put in jail. And they did not see the complete picture, but they remained faithful. And I love reading Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 talks about these faithful people who who continued to follow God, and yet did not see the entire picture, didn't see the whole plan. Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. These are a cloud of witnesses. We have the full picture of Christ. Peter is telling this group, these people, these prophets in the past, they will look forward to what was coming. You actually have it. You saw it. Hebrews 12, I'm going to read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. They waited. They were pursuing it, and they had faith. And they studied and inquired, and they went, he's coming. We don't know how it's all going to work. We're studying Scripture, but we have faith. And Peter's pointing to these prophets who inquired. I've worked on a lot of construction projects over the years. Most of you probably have too. It's interesting when you go into a room and you start tearing things down, tearing the walls down, tearing the ceiling down, tearing the floors up. And you get to that point and you look and you go, I don't see it. This is not worth it. But then, as you start putting things up, you put the drywall back up, and you put the floors down, and you start putting on the drywalling mud and putting everything in together and sanding everything and painting and cleaning it and painting it. And you go and you polish the floors, you put on the stain, you put on the polyurethane, everything, and it comes together. And you look back and you're looking at the room and you go, wow. That was the plan. I see it now. But in the midst of there, it's hard to see the end, right? When you're sitting there with the bags of trash from all the things you ripped apart, or you're trying to mud one other place in the drywall that just will not take the mud correctly, and you've sanded it over and over and over again, and just, it's hard to see the end. Peter is saying, you see the room complete. You've seen Christ. This is the gospel. This is the good news. You're seeing this. The prophets, the past, these people inquired and looked, and they wrote these things about Christ, but they didn't see the whole picture. All of this came from God. The scriptures that they wrote, he had a plan and he fulfilled his plan. It says in 2 Peter 1, verse 19, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture came from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Christ's coming was a fulfillment of the prophecy. The scripture was written as God wanted it to be written. And when Christ came, many people did not believe. They didn't accept it. Luke 16 says, Christ says, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. They refuse to believe. The leadership, which we've dealt with quite a few weeks ago, and tying this into Easter Sunday, and as we talked about his death and his resurrection, there's a lot of people who did not believe. Peter's saying, you see it, you believe. Just as the prophet sat there and inquired and had faith, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. They inquired what person or time. They didn't know. They didn't have the full picture. I've had a lot of classes, a lot of Bible classes. one of the more interesting ones I had was Daniel and Revelation with a guy named Dr. Varner. And I think he has a couple books out there if you ever want to. I recommend anything you find by him. But he taught a class on Daniel and Revelation. And he's amazing. He knows more Bible than I will probably ever be able to know. He spent his entire life studying, and it was a very difficult class. Why? Because when you're going through the prophets, when you're going through Daniel, when you're seeing the prophecies, and when you're going through Revelation, and this man who knows so much scripture, so much background, so many languages, he's sitting there trying to explain it to you, and it's hard when you're looking at future things, what's going to happen later, it's hard to say with certainty That's exactly how it's going to be. Why? Because sometimes the prophecy is hard to see. It's not clear. Now, some things are clear, but a lot of prophecy wasn't clear. In fact, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, when he's talking to these angels and the different people, these beings he's seeing, he says, when is this going to happen? What is the outcome of these things? He says, I don't know. I don't get it. I see glimpses, but I don't see the whole picture. They did not know. They couldn't see it all. A suffering Messiah and a glorified king is what they were getting. They're talking of, in Isaiah 53, it says, this Messiah, Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, is one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. That's Isaiah 53. That's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ died on the cross, before Christ was stricken for our transgressions, pierced for our iniquities, before the people rejected Christ. Isaiah wrote those words. And could you imagine Isaiah writing them and Simon sitting there looking back at Isaiah and saying, how does that all work together? How does that all fit? And then reading in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How does it work out? How do these two things go together? This king who reigns eternally, and this Messiah who suffers. And Peter says, they inquired, they searched the scriptures, they wondered how this worked. They longed for this, but they didn't see the whole picture. In fact, the disciples, we have the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Christ rose again, and they're talking, and they're talking about all the things that happened, that Christ had just died, and they had heard that some people had seen him risen. And they're having this discussion, and Jesus appears to them. And they don't know it's Jesus, but they're talking to him. And he says, what's going on? This is in Luke 24. And they say, well, don't you know what happened in Jerusalem? We don't get how it all works out. We don't understand. And Jesus says this, Luke 24, 25, and he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? And then he explains it to them. And he goes to the rest of the disciples. They run back because they realize this is Christ. They run back. They talk to the rest of the disciples. And Jesus appears. And Luke 24, then he said to them, he appears to the rest of the disciples. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opens their minds to understand the scriptures. What Peter is saying is that you have now seen this fulfilled. Christ has come. All these prophets, all these men of God in the past, they had all these small glimpses of what was coming. The Messiah, who would be glory reigning, sitting at on the throne. They had pictures of this, but they also had pictures of a suffering Messiah. And they didn't see the whole thing. And they searched scriptures, and they didn't quite understand it all. But they had faith, and they are looking forward to this. And you have this great salvation that they were talking about. You can actually see it. You know about Christ. We shared it with you. Some of you saw him. This is it. You see what they were talking about. You've read the entire series. You have the whole picture. The scriptures were fulfilled. Christ's coming was a plan. His death and the cross and his resurrection. So when he says in verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things in which angels long to look. Angels wanted to see this. Angels didn't see how it all came together. You see this now. Hebrews 11 again, verse 39 says, "And all these things, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." We can look back on the cross. They had to look forward. We can celebrate Easter, resurrection. We can celebrate the fact that Christ died on the cross for our sins. And we can see it. And we can see that he rose again. And he's declared the salvation for us. This is the good news. And when he says, we preached this good news to you. We went out, we declared this to you. This is what you're seeing. You're seeing the fulfillment of God's plan. This was God's purpose. And you are the elect, the chosen for this purpose. This is all coming together as God wanted it to come together. When you read through the Old Testament, it was all leading up to this point, God's plan. And you are chosen by God to receive the salvation. Now rejoice for what he has provided to you. This was the good news that was preached. This is what Peter and his disciples declared. I love Romans 10, verse 14. We'll read that together. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. But Romans 10, verse 14 says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Let's preach the good news. This is the good news that we have. Let's declare it to others. In this time when there is trials and there's struggles, we have the fulfillment of this plan of God all the way from eternity past, all the way through the history of humanity, where Christ was coming, the Savior was coming, And he came and he died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again on the third day, and he can take care of our problem of sin. This great salvation. And Peter here, when he's talking to these people, these exiles who are scattered all over, these Christians, he's saying, you have this good news. This was the plan of God. We have this hope. We have this joy. This is the continuation of God's plan. We are the recipients of this hope. What do we do with it? What is our response? We'll get into that more next week. You're invited to read the rest of the passage this week and study through it. I love the fact that God has a plan. And I'm part of his plan. And it's just encouraging in these times where we sit here and we struggle and we see trials, we see things happening, and we don't know what's coming next. God is in control. And we can trust in him. And we look at the prophets from the past who studied Scripture, who didn't see the whole picture. But they still had faith. They still trusted God. And they inquired and searched Scripture and tried to understand what God had for them. And they believed. Let's trust God too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for sending your son to die for us. Please help us to hope and trust in you. Help us rejoice for the salvation you have provided. In your name, amen.